listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Good morning, New Chapel. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brian, and I'm one of the pastors here. I'll just tell you, it is so good to see everybody. Like, I look forward to Sundays. Like, I look forward to seeing everybody smiling, laughing out in the lobby, catching up. You know, for a lot of people, they see each other, you know, with the craziness in the world right now. It's Sunday, and I look forward to seeing everybody, being able to love on people. And I'll also tell you what, I'm proud of this church. That everything that we've, what would you say, that we've been obedient to God in this season through drive-in church and having the 4th of July party that we had and opening our doors when it was not very popular. I just want to say for those people who made that possible, thank you. Like, give it up for them right now because they are awesome. I think of Joe Escareno, Aaron Pieri, Nay. I mean, there's people who... they love God's people and serve him wholeheartedly, and I'm so grateful for that. So thank you. I'm honored, and I'm excited that I get to share with you today. We're in a series called Team Church, and I wasn't scheduled to preach this weekend, but Kaya's due date was on Friday, and we thought, well, that might be a good idea to switch some things up, and no baby. Honestly, I was shocked to see. I was like, well, praise God, Kai is here. And, but preaching next week, right? Amen. But, yeah, so I'm just excited to share. Obviously, no baby yet, but Vera's coming soon. It is their fourth kid, which just goes to tell you that they really took it upon themselves to grow the church. They're like, grow the church? No problem. But anyways, I want to jump into it today, and I want to make you guys a promise. And that promise is this. For some of us in the room, if you apply what you hear today, it will change everything. You'll look back to this moment and say, that is the time where God started to work something special in my life. And that's not an overstatement. That's just a promise if you apply what we talk about today. And I want to jump into it with a story. It was the end of last summer when things were open. I ran into one of my old high school friends at the gym. And we started hitting it off right away. It's kind of one of those guys, I'm going to leave his name out of the story, but it's kind of one of those guys where you just pick up right where you left off. You just jump right back into where we're shooting the breeze, talking, and just having a good time catching up. And he tells me, you know, he's kind of kept track of what I've been doing. He's seen the Facebook posts, seen that I've been working at the church and have become a pastor. And he was just expressing how he thought it was awesome. He was so happy for me. And he said to me, man, I've started going to church too. I said, man, that's awesome. Where are you going? And he said, well, it's that one on 28th Street next to the, I don't know the name of it. And I said, oh, have you been able to build relationships, jump into a small group or serve? He said, well, not really. And I could tell it was kind of a sore subject, and I was like, well, we're going to move on. And so we kept talking and really just had a good time, you know, talking back and forth. I hadn't seen him in 4 or 5 years. And so, man, we were talking. But then a couple minutes later, he took me off to the side, kind of where nobody was working out. And he got real honest with me, and he said, would you pray for me? And I said, absolutely, I would love to pray for you. What can I pray for? And typically, when somebody asks if you can pray for them, they really have, like, one prayer request. I think my buddy just felt more comfortable with me because he just let me hear everything. Like, he has a couple kids, and he's married now, and he was saying, man, pray for my marriage. We're struggling. My finances are under pressure. You know, I hate my job, and I'm about to lose my job, and I just don't know what to do. Just really unsatisfied with life. Would you pray for me? And I was like, yes. Let me take my notes, and then I'll pray for you. And so, anyways, I prayed for him, but I realized something. I realized that was more of a conversation that needed to be had than it was just praying for him that one time. And it was in that moment that my strategy changed for how I was going to minister to him. And I told him something that I think some of us in the room need to hear. And I picked up on what he had said about the church that he was attending. And I told him, I think it's time you stop going to church. I said, I think it's time you stop going to church and you get planted in the church. You get rooted in the church. You build some relationships in that church. And I think that it's a lot of what we all need to hear and understand is that God's highest calling for us is not to go to church. God's highest calling for us is not to go to a destination, but rather to be conformed into the image of Christ and sent out into the world. That God's highest calling isn't just to go to a place, but to be the church, a light shining in a dark world. Amen, somebody? And so we're called and said to go to church, to be planted, to be the church, to be planted. And where does that language come from? I want to just camp out in Psalm 92 for just a little while. This is what the scriptures say in Psalm 92 in verses 12 through 15. It says, the righteous shall, and everybody say this with me, flourish like a, that was good. Y'all are so much better than first service. So much better. That really just surprised me. Thank you. Thank God. Praise him. Anyways, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I just want to pause real quick and talk about what we're being compared to. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. So there's two trees here, and then saying we're going to be flourishing. And I want to quick talk about that because it's not really a word we use often to describe what's going on in our lives. So, like if you came up to me and said, hey, Brian, how you doing? I wouldn't necessarily be like, I'm flourishing. You know, that's probably not what I would say often. If you go up to somebody at the gym and you're like, hey, bro, got some gains, bro. You're really flourishing. Probably not going to get a good response. I mean, Planet Fitness, judgment-free zone, so they claim, but whatever. Not my battle today. But we're flourishing. And the real meaning behind the word here, it's this awesome picture of thriving, growing spiritually, prospering, to be a blessing, to be on this spiritual journey with God. And then the psalmist compares us to two trees, the cedar and the palm. And the cedar was known for being strong, for being durable, for being able to withstand, to stand the test of time. And it also was attractive and it smelled good. So for example, Solomon, when he built his temple, he built the posts, the beams, the columns, and the roof of the temple out of cedar. Why? Because it was designed to last for centuries. So we're being compared to the cedar, strong, durable, and we're being compared to the palm. And the palm was always symbolic for triumph and victory. Triumph and victory, if you're taking notes. And so, for example, the Corinthian Olympic Games, the winner who would win the games, congratulations, here's a palm branch. Not necessarily what I would be happy to receive, but it was like the gold medal. It was symbolic for victory. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, it's referred to as the triumphal entry. And the people were saying, here comes the king in victory. They were waving palm branches at him because it symbolized triumph and victory. And both of these trees are evergreens all year long. And they are full of life and fruit no matter what the season is. So this is what we're being compared to. Cedar, palm, saying we're flourishing. Everybody checking with me so far?
Yeah.
The question is, who is going to flourish like this. We'll read on in the scripture. It says, those who are, everybody say it with me, planted. Oh, it's a scripture. Oh, that was so much weaker than the first time. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted. And then I love this imagery. It says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And all the people over 60 said, amen. Amen. Proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there's no wickedness in him. Who's going to prosper? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Those who have their roots here. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us in the room, if we were using this language, we may not say we're flourishing. If we're talking about spiritual thriving, we may say, I'm spiritually dry. Or many would say, I'm not financially prospering with room to be a blessing. Many would say, I'm financially under pressure. So many would say, I'm not fulfilled. I'm still searching for that thing, that job, that relationship, whatever's missing in my life to give me that call, that fulfillment, that thing that's going to sustain me. And that's the difference between going to church and being planted. When we get planted, when we grow, get those roots down deep, we begin to flourish. We begin to see what God is saying here come alive in our life. But what do we need to recognize? We need to recognize that your life is a seed. Your life is a seed. And what does that mean? Seeds have tremendous potential. They have the potential to grow, to thrive, to multiply, to produce fruit, and to be a blessing. In the same way, a seed that's not planted has the potential to lie dormant, to be unproductive, unfruitful, and dissatisfied. Our life is a seed. And secondly, what do we know about a seed? A seed can only grow if it's planted, right? And Jesus talks about this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. This is what Jesus says. It says, then he spoke many things to them in parables or stories, saying, behold, a sower. He's talking about a farmer here. Sower is the word that his contemporaries would have understood. But he's saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. In other words, they never even had a chance to get planted. The birds ate them up. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And Jesus would go on later in chapter 13 and say that those thorns are the worries, the stresses, the concerns, and the struggles of life that choke out that seed. Do you see the metaphor here? It's saying some people have potential, but they never get started like the first seed. Some people get started, but then they fade away. And some people begin to thrive spiritually, and then the concerns, the worries, and the stresses of life choke out that spiritual growth that they're experiencing. And I shared this first service. It wasn't originally in my note, but I had fun talking about it, so I'm going to do it again. I was thinking about that seed that gets choked out by the worries of life. I think in 2020, a lot of our wasted energy has been revealed to us if we pay attention to it. For example, do I have any football fans in the house? Praise God. Amen. Thank you very much. So I'm a sports fan. I like sports. And I'm a Michigan fan. If you're not, sorry about your team. Thank you. Praise God. But house divided. But I don't know how many of you saw, but the Big Ten season got canceled. Anybody aware of this? Yeah, it was a big deal. You would have thought that the world was ending on Facebook. If you was like, oh my gosh, everybody. And it's like people get so nasty. But that's what the scripture's talking about. The worries, the stresses, the concerns. In the grand scheme of things, and I don't mean to, if you post it on Facebook about it, I'm not calling you out. But I want you to see, that's such a minor stressor that we get so wrapped up in. We get so fired up about. And you see, sometimes I just click on the comment thread for fun and see what kinds of things people are saying because people are crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Praise God, I'm going to move on. But then Jesus says, there's seed that's planted in good soil. It gets planted, it grows roots, and it says it multiplies 30, 60, and 100 times. This seed becomes a massive blessing because it's planted. Who flourishes? Those who are planted in the house of God. And I also want you to see that going to church isn't the same as being planted. Going to church isn't the same as being planted. And I think that sometimes we can see this in our language. For example, I grew up like this, and so I can tell off on myself. It was, we going to church today? We're busy. Want to go to the lake? There's a game on. I don't. Are we going to church today? But when you're planted, it's not, are we going to church today? It's, man, I can't wait to see my family at church. I can't wait to love on somebody, go worship God, get built up, get strengthened so that we can go out into the world and make a difference. Amen, somebody? And we see that, oh, real quick, for the parents in the room, I can't imagine you'd ever say, hey, kids, do you want to eat today? Like, I was thinking about it, and I was, you know, maybe a couple weeks without food or oxygen. It's the same way because the gathering, there's power in the gathering that is life to your flesh and your spirit, that it builds you up and prepares you to walk in your calling. Do you see what I'm saying? Amen. And we see this in the actual Greek word church, and that word is ekklesia. Ekklesia. And it means two things. The first thing is it means gathering or assembly. So it's saying we come together, like we come together like this in the room to hear the word of God, to worship and honor our God. And so if you listen to a preacher's podcast, that's good. Like, I recommend that. I listen. I have a couple preachers I like. You know, Pastor Willie George, man, full of wisdom. But it's not the same thing as being planted. Do you see that? I mean, it's good for supplemental, but it does not compare to the gathering and the power that there is in the room with the presence of God where Christians are in agreement. Amen, somebody? Amen. So it's the gathering, and it also means, it's two parts, ek, which means out, and klesia, which comes from the Greek word kaleo, which means called. So it very literally means the called out ones. So there's gathering, there's the called out ones. And so what I want you to see, church is where we come together. We worship and honor God together. We receive the word of God. We use our gifts and our talents to serve other people together. We get strengthened and built up together. And then we go out into the world and make a difference, make an impact, reach our neighbors, our coworkers, and do it all for the glory of God. Amen, somebody? And as Christians, we start to realize that the church doesn't exist for us. We exist for the world. We exist to reach those people. Where Jesus says, go and preach the word of God, he says, make disciples of all nations. Where it's not talking about, I would like it if it would say, like, go make disciples in Florence, Italy. Like that, praise God, I'll go do that. but it's going into the world strengthened, built up from that ecclesia, that gathering together to go make an impact in this world. And that's the difference between going to church and being plugged into a calling, to a mission, and to a movement. And I want to give you guys two scenarios. It's actually very common to see when you're in ministry. There's person A, and there's person B. In person A, they go to church. The beginning of the stories are actually pretty similar. Person A goes to church, and they're far from God, and they come into a life-giving atmosphere. They hear a message that is encouraging, and man, that song spoke to my heart, and I was feeling guilty, but then they loved on me, and I recognized that I had a spiritual need, and I called on Jesus, and my life has changed. And we praise God. But what doesn't happen in person A is they don't really get connected to other believers, and they don't really develop the relationships with other believers, and they don't take on the mission of the church as their own mission. And there's not the serving, the giving, the reciprocating contribution. And they still go to church, but years down the road, what we see so often is we'll see them on Christmas and on Easter, and we'll talk to them, we'll love on them, we'll see them, and the marriage isn't doing good, and the kids are acting crazy, and the finances are under pressure. And I want you to see that God wants you to be planted, because he knows when you're planted, you're going to have support, you're going to flourish, you're going to begin to walk in the abundance that he has for you, you're going to be in relationships with other Christians so you're not alone and isolated. And then person B, he goes to church, he or she goes to church, and the beginning of the story is basically the same, where far from God, they give their life to Christ, man, we praise God, but what happens is they begin to connect. They begin to build relationships. Somebody's praying for them, but also they're praying for somebody else. And they begin to understand, man, God has made me on purpose, for a purpose. He's given me gifts and talents to use in his kingdom. And instead of just going to church, they decide to use their gifts in the church to make a difference and an impact in other people's lives. And what happens is they begin to embrace the identity. I am the church. I am an ambassador of God. And their roots begin to grow deep. And here's what happens. Life's not perfect. It's not easy all the time. 2020's proved that for everybody. But when the storms come, they can withstand it. They're good because their roots are deep. They're unshakable. They're what Romans would say, more than a conqueror. They're planted in the house of God. Amen? It's the difference between going to a building and being planted in the house of God. So what happens when you're planted? Two things. Number one, when you're planted, your roots grow deep. We're going to look at Jeremiah 17:8. This is what scripture says. It says, they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. Another translation would say that its roots go deep in the water. It does not fear when heat comes. It does not, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I wonder how many in the room, there's some heat in your life, some spiritual heat, or how many are in a season of drought, going through something. If I asked who's going through something, I guarantee almost every single hand would go up, because there's some battle to fight somewhere. But the scripture's saying, when your roots are deep, when you're planted, you don't have to worry about the heat and about the drought, because you're connected to the source, to God who's our provider, to God, who's our sustenance. And we can know that whatever problem on the surface does not hold up to my God, who says, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Amen? Amen. This week I was researching some stuff about roots, and I came up on redwood trees. And I've never been to California. I don't know if any of you have seen these trees. I see a head nodding. I was just looking at pictures and still took my breath away. I was like, what in the world? If you don't know, redwood trees are the tallest living thing on the planet. They grow up to 30 stories high and 3 stories wide. And you'll see pictures where they literally carve out from underneath, like at the base, and there's like a road going in between it. They're massive. And I was like, how in the world can they grow that tall? I'll tell you how. Their roots grow deep. Their root systems go up to 150 feet down and parallel. And the cool thing about redwood trees is that you'll have the forest, and there's trees all over the place. And what happens is, actually, the root systems of these separate trees begin to intertwine. They're going down and to the side, and they're all connected. And what happens is, beneath the ground, where nobody sees, there's a support system. There's a support system that supports all of the growth on the surface. And this is exactly what we need in the body of Christ. Because I can promise you something, and it's not a great thing to be told, but I can promise that, well, actually, I'll say Jesus promised. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. Like, you can count on it. I can promise at some point you're going to have a setback or have a struggle or go into some sort of season where things are tough. And we need that support system, because when you're isolated, you're vulnerable. You are so vulnerable. Excuse me. I can tell you that the only one who wants you to think that you shouldn't be planted is your spiritual enemy. It's your spiritual enemy who knows if he can get you separated from the other believers, separated from your family, separated from the body of Christ, and isolated, you're vulnerable. And we need the family of God. I need you, and you need me. And I can't tell you what our church family has meant in this year with all of this craziness happening. And we've been strong, we've been blessed and encouraged, because there's a system of roots supporting it. We need one another. And the second thing is, when you're planted, your roots produce fruit. Your roots produce fruit. Second part of Jeremiah 17:8 says, it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to produce fruit. And what are we talking about here with fruit? In a couple of different thoughts. One, scripture says you're God's craftsmanship. He created you to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. He's going to call you, lead you, guide you, equip you to do exactly what he's called you to do. And there's different things. It looks different for everybody. But I want to zone in on what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5. And he says this. They're called the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what happens when you're planted. When you're planted. Ephesians 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I almost just wanted to start singing that song I learned when I was about 8 years old. I'll spare you guys, because ain't nobody want to hear that. But these fruits of the Spirit are what we start to walk in when we're planted. And I want you to see, they're not anything natural from us. Like, I can tell you right now, when I do have patience on the highway, when the Prius is going 68 in the passing lane, that is God. That is not me being peaceful in that passing lane behind that Prius. But these fruits of the Spirit are what we walk in when we're planted. And here's what I want you to see. These fruits are not just for us. Not just for us. Because even when you're in a difficult season, your love can shine through, can make a difference, can be a blessing to other people. That you can still have joy that's contagious. Like, there's people where, like Mr. Ed, if you've met Mr. Ed, you can't not smile when you're talking to the guy. You leave the conversation and you have like butterflies. It's like, oh my gosh, I feel so great now. But your joy, that fruit of the Spirit, is contagious, that your faithfulness builds relationships. Your faithfulness will build relationships. And I want you to see that these fruits of the Spirit, when we're planted, they benefit us absolutely. I don't know what I would do without these fruits, but they're for other people too, for making an impact, for being influential into other people's lives. And it's when we recognize that I'm not just saved from my sins, I'm saved to make a difference. I'm saved to make an impact in this world. I'm saved to reach people far from God. Amen, somebody? And there's a massive difference between going to a church and being planted in the house of the Lord. Who flourishes? Only that seed that's planted will grow and will flourish. So how do we do this? How do I go from where I'm at to where God's calling me to be? And man, I'm so happy you asked. I want to talk to you just real quick about potential next steps. Because if there's one thing that I know, it's God always has a next step for you. He always has a next step. He leads in steps. Say you are feeling us out, or you've been coming for a while and you have not connected with us at New Chapel Connect. I'll tell you, the next step is New Chapel Connect. 2 weeks, twice a month, and you know, we give you the vision, we tell you who we are, how we can partner with you, and then we give you practical steps to run with the vision. Say you're already a partner here, but you have not kind of made that transition into wanting to serve yet. The next step is just try it. Just try serving somebody and see how rewarding it is. See how life-giving it is to serve somebody that can't pay you back. If you haven't joined a small group, the next step is to join a small group. And I know it can be weird. I know it can be a little awkward. I've been there. And the group my wife and I lead, sometimes there's some awkwardness, but that's okay. Because we want to get to know each other. We want to experience life change in the context of personal relationships. Amen, somebody? I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you just gave your life to Christ, if you've been a Christian 85 years and you can float with your faith. I have no idea. But I know that God has a next step. This is what Psalm 37:23 says. Scripture says, the steps of a good man or a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I want you to know, you don't have to accomplish everything that God is calling you to all at once. It's one step at a time. One step after the other. And I was going through this message this week, and it really brought me back to the journey that God took me on. And, you know, to be honest with you, if you would have said that I was going to be a pastor 5 years ago, I straight up would have laughed in your face. Like, that would have been a joke to me. But it was 2015. And, you know, it's not that I didn't love God. I love God. But that's not for me. But I knew my next step. Okay, let me backtrack. 2015, I start serving at this church. And I knew, you know, this is my next step. I want to get more involved. I want to get planted. And I start serving. And I thought it was going to be some crazy difficult thing to do. And to be honest with you, I was like, these people are all weird. Like, I came in and there was too much energy on Sunday morning. You know what I mean? Like, people were excited. They're smiling, and I'm kind of like rubbing the boogies out of the corner of my eye as I'm going into church. It's like, these people are weird. But I knew it was my next step, and God had spoke to my heart, and I was like, I got to jump in. I got to do this. And I started serving on the usher team, greeting people, serving on the setup and the teardown team. And what I discovered very quickly was that these are just ordinary people who love God, want to serve God, serve his people, use their gifts and talents. And I started to build relationships with the people on my team. Started to build relationships where I had accountability, I had encouragement. Man, we could celebrate the awesome things in our life together, and I knew I had somebody praying for me, and I could pray for somebody else. I started serving, and then I knew my next step. I joined a small group. Like I said, there was some weirdness. That's okay. Got less weird. It was awesome. Build relationships who people I'm still so close to today. That was my next step. And then I got on a real discipleship track, another step. And then I led a small group, another step. And then I jumped into an internship at the church, another step. And then my wife and I took over as co-kids directors, and that was another step. And then we started a pastoral residency, and that was another step. And then we were licensed as pastors, and I have the great honor of my life to be able to preach the word of God to you. What I want you to see, and thank you for being so faithful. What I want you to see is it was just one step at a time, one decision at a time, one moment of faithfulness at a time. And to be honest with you, I think if we knew the end from the beginning, we'd screw it up. I can tell you, if God in 2015 told me, you're going to be a pastor at New Chapel, I would have said, I guess I'm leaving Michigan then. You know what I mean? Maybe not. But I want you to hear me. You have a God-given purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knit you together and laid out a calling before you were ever born. He made you for a purpose. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. I know that. But you're called to do something. This is what Ephesians 4:16 says. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I can tell you that the body of Christ is held together by every supporting ligament, that we all have a purpose. We all have a role to play. And I've read this scripture, and just because of the phraseology, I went back to when I was a freshman in college, and I was playing baseball at the time, and I tore my rotator cuff. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's basically the capsule of tendons that hold the shoulder in place. They support the shoulder. That's its purpose. And I tore my infraspinatus and my supraspinatus. And those two tendons, they're less than 1%, far less than 1% of the entire body. But I can tell you from experience, it affected more than just where it was. I couldn't run. I couldn't exercise with the team. It was my right arm, and I couldn't write papers. I mean, just basic movement, basic everyday functions were nearly impossible for me. This was less than 1% of the body. And just imagine, what if, say, 50% of the tendons, ligaments, and muscles in the body stopped working, what the function would be, what the designed purpose would be. What I want you to hear, I want you to hear this. You're needed. The church, capital C, God's global church needs you to use your gifts, your talents, to pursue your calling. Get planted in the house of God, because there's more people to reach. There's more kids to influence in this city. There's more people who've never heard the name of Jesus that need to be told God loves you, God has a call for you, and be told and reached. And there's more people to reach. Somebody say amen. The church needs you. How are you doing? Are you flourishing, thriving? Listen, I know life's not perfect. Storms come, but when you're planted, I'm telling you, your faith will be strong. You'll know you got brothers and sisters in Christ praying for you. You have a support system there to build you up. You can know that I'm a part of something. I'm a part of a mission. I'm a part of something bigger than myself. And know that I don't just go to a church, go to a destination. I am the church. You can embrace that. This is who I am. And some may say, I've heard this many a time. Man, I tried. I came there 3 weeks straight and nothing happened. It takes a long time for a tree to grow, doesn't it? Five things that a tree needs to grow. Soil, light, water, temperature, and time. Five things we need to grow. Soil, that good heart soil, ready to grow, willing to receive. Light, the word of God is a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path. Water, Jesus Christ, the living water who cleanses and washes, renews your soul. Temperature, the fire of the Holy Spirit who warms that seed in your heart. And time. Question. When's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the best time, next best time to plant a tree? Right now. When's the best time to be planted in the house of God? 20 years ago. When's the next best time? Right now. I can tell you, God wants you to flourish. Now's the time, because God has more for you. He wants you to walk into the abundance that he has for you. And he knows that you have a role, a calling, a purpose, somebody to influence. And only those planted in the house of the Lord can truly flourish in all that God has for you. So, Father, we pray right now. And we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, in our hearts. God, I pray that you do what I can't do, that you'd open hearts, that you'd speak next steps to people, that you'd give them the strength and the boldness to be obedient to what you're calling them into. God, we praise you for it. We give you the glory in advance in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Before we dismiss, I want you, maybe if you're watching online or if you're in the room and you're hearing this message about being planted and about flourishing, and you're thinking, I think my next step is to make Jesus Lord of my life. If that's you, I want to say, making Jesus Lord of your life is the best decision you'll ever make. Who is Jesus? Jesus was the sinless, perfect Son of God who came to earth, died on a cross for our sins, was resurrected from the grave for us to walk in that power, that authority. I'm going to have everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. If that's you in the room, we're going to say a prayer in just a minute. And the Bible says that if you say this prayer and you mean it, that you will be saved. And those in the room, if you are a Christian, if you are saved, I want you to repeat this as well as support for those who are saying it for the first time and as a declaration of your faith. We're going to say that prayer now. Repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit in me. I receive all of what you have for me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give it up for those people who accepted Christ. Thank you so much.
Hey, proud of you. Give it up for Pastor Brian, too. That was awesome. Raising him up good here at the church. That was an awesome word. I took like 5 pages of notes if you didn't get born again. And that was so great. Hey, just a couple things before we get you out to the rest of your weekend. The first thing is this. On August 30th, everybody say August 30th? So we're going to have 2 normal services, 9 and 11. But then afterwards, we're going to be having our beach baptisms. And this just in fact, I kind of forgot to share it with first service. But Pastor Robbie Emery is going to be with us on August 30th, which is so cool. He's a friend of the house. And he's the chaplain to Michigan's football team when they had one. And so I'm excited to have him here on August 30th. If you're a Michigan fan, be here. If you're a state fan, come here and spy out the enemy's camp. We have a whole year to figure out our lives. And so as far as that day, if you aren't baptized, get baptized that day. Come out to the beach and get baptized. You can go online with a connection card online or let us know at guest services about that. Also, after service today, after the 11 o'clock service, we're going to be having New Chapel Connect. So it's 2 parts, and it's just once, like twice a month, right? So 2 different sessions, this week and next, and that's it. So it's not like recurring forever, just 2 times to hang out with us. We have lunch for you. In fact, in the back, Joe Escareno already has it. We've got like what, Jimmy John's, some Coke, water, all the health food, and yeah, he's got your sub right there. In fact, Joe, you own that now that you touched it. But anyway, make sure that you come out to New Chapel Connect if you're not plugged into church yet. Would you please stand up on your feet, New Chapel? Give it up for Pastor Brian one more time. How awesome. Hey, louder than that, homegrown. Come on, somebody. Got the right stuff. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, have an awesome weekend. We'll let you know when we have a baby.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.